Sensation. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Very part of the purport. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In Bhagavad Gita 8:6, it is said, Yang yang vapi smaran bhavu chajan te kaleva tang tang vivaiti kaunteya sadata bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises, Tishtan Vraja, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Vrajabhumi. Vrajabhumi, or the land of Vrindavan, is supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. One kosha equals 2 square miles. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishnam smaran janam chasya preshtam nija samihitam tattat katavatas chasa goyad vasam vaje sada. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Vraja and always engage in Krishna smaran janam chasya preshtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following in the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of God. So, we have this book. Om Aganit, Rangasa, Ganamunasa, Chachu Munitamina, as mentioned. Rupa Goswami says this is the essence of all advice. Everyone wants good advice. We want to feel like we're doing the right thing. We want our lives to have meaning and significance. It really pains you when you think that your life has no meaning and no significance. People commit suicide and they start thinking like that. I'm just a bump on the log. I'm just a speck, insignificant speck in the cosmos. Then they start getting suicidal. People want good advice. Rupa Goswami says the essence of all good advice is that you use your time, full time, for nicely chanting and remembering Krishna. That means you have to organize your life. We're speaking about this in the morning at New Varshan. That you have to put the horse before the cart, not the cart before the horse. There's no point in worrying about the wildness of the mind if we have not organized our life in terms of its physical circumstances or giving us a proper environment so we can chant Hare Krishna, remember Krishna. First, we have to organize our day and night. Then, once we are organized, or we've done the best we can in this world of constant upheavals, then we've done the best we can to organize our circumstances for nice chanting and remembering, then we can do battle with the mind. But it's quite foolish to expect that you can battle with your mind when you haven't arranged, you haven't tried to organize the circumstances of your life. The first things have to be there first. And all the different ashrams have to figure out a way how to organize the lifestyle so that you can achieve the goal of the ashram. What is the goal of every ashram? To give you strength for serving Krishna, to give you a firm foundation, to stabilize you. Once you are stabilized, then you're able to concentrate on the holy name, concentrate on Krishna's pastimes, without being buffeted about so much by the material energy because of taking an improper stance or taking no stance for fighting Maya. So once you have a firm stance, then you can proceed to think how to focus the mind. Because all your external circumstances in your day are organized to give you maximum concentration. So the next thing you worry about is the mind itself, irrespective of the organization of your circumstances of your life. Each person, each devotee has that responsibility to organize your life, as Rupa Goswami says here. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. The Sanskrit is sukirtana, nicely discussing or chanting, doing it in an auspicious way, not mechanically. We were discussing this morning how the beginning of your niceties with Krishna is when you take the trouble to organize your day so that you can effectively reciprocate with Krishna. At the beginning of the sukirtana, the niceties of having exchanges with Krishna. Just the fact that you've taken the trouble to organize your day so you can focus, have a chance to focus the mind. That's the beginning of care and concern. We've been giving this example many times. It's quite true. We make Krishna consciousness so unnecessarily complicated because we don't want to face the personal ramifications of Krishna consciousness, which are responsibility and relationship. By learning how to be responsible to Krishna in relationship, naturally you learn how to be responsible to all the living entities. So, we all know, we've given this example several times, say, Shri Kram, he's listening to his wife, Sumukhi, but she's trying to talk to him. But he's looking here, he's looking there, looking out the window. What was that? And obviously, if he did that every day, the relationship would be in a bit of trouble, right? Yeah? Anybody, when you're communicating with someone, you want to feel that they're fully attentive. But this is the way we treat Krishna. When we chant his name, our minds are everywhere except with the name. And then we wonder, where is my spiritual advancement? Why am I not tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness? What happened to the original bliss that I was tasting when I was a new devotee? On the other hand, if, let's say, Sri Ripam is talking to Sumati and she's talking to him, and he tells her, you know, I have made every endeavor today to make sure I have a time where I can really listen to what you have to say. Let's say he did it every day. He'd be getting good prasad every day, wouldn't he? I have made a special effort to have quality time to hear what you have to say. I'm fully focused. I have nothing else to do except hear what you have to say. Well, naturally, the other person would think, well, this is a proper relationship. This is a very productive relationship. Or Steve and Celia. Yes, is that so? Celia, I've got a whole day arranged now so that at this time I can just hear what you have to say. She would be, this is the way it should be. On the other hand, he's trying to talk to you and your mind is looking out the window and fidgeting and playing with your cell phone and, talking to her while you're on your computer, If you did that every day, year after year, the relationship wouldn't be too good, would it? So these are common sense things. And our relationship with Krishna is it's part of common sense. How to remember Krishna as a person. How do you do that? Don't treat Krishna impersonally. Take the effort to organize your life for proper hearing and chanting. Just by doing that, Krishna will be impressed. That's yajna, that's sacrifice. If you didn't care, you wouldn't take the trouble. How can I organize my lifestyle so I can have the maximum focus on Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes? That shows you care. So this is how to make a great step forward in life. Just like when it's often said when couples are having problems, they have to really make a special effort to sit down and hear one another. Sometimes they just go somewhere together and just, okay, look, we're going to get away this weekend. We're just going to really hear what each other has to say. You have to approach your spiritual life in that way. If you're feeling dry, if you're not feeling enlivened, then you have to arrange, you have to organize your life so that you can focus better on Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. It's a personal thing. And when you take the personal effort, when you make the personal effort to arrange your life to fulfill Rupa Goswami's essence of all advice, then Krishna reciprocates with you. This is how we make advancement in bhakti yoga. You gotta do what you can do at the present moment. Not think, well, when I become very advanced in the future, then I'll worry about so many things, I'll do so many things right. But right now I'm not advanced, so what does it matter? Householders can very easily think like this. What's the use of me thinking too spiritual? I mean, look at me now. In my house, my kids, my wife, my husband, I mean, how much can you even expect out of me? You can get trapped into that consciousness. But no, you shouldn't put off this personal responsibility that each one of us has for organizing the life so that you can fulfill Rupa Goswami's instruction. As soon as you throw off that responsibility, then you leave the door wide open to just laziness, negligence, sloth in your spiritual development. So it is our responsibility to organize our days so that the mind has a chance to come in contact with Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. We don't make any spiritual advancement until we take this responsibility. No one can do it for you. Whether you are a graduate of an intense bhakti program or not, no one can live your life for you. After all the training is there, you have to make that decision. I'm going to organize my life so I can properly deal with Krishna. Just like in your relationships at home. You can read all the marriage advice books you want. Men are from Jupiter and women are from Saturn. You can read them and read them and read them. Sure, they have some good points. But you have to take responsibility to apply them. If you care, you'll do that. Similarly, we have to take the effort, make the effort to organize our life. We can't chuck that responsibility. Hey, what do you expect out of me? Look, you know, I got pictures of Krishna on the wall, you know. Hey, we offer the prasad most of the time, you know. we got the kids, you know, we got to pay the rent and pay the mortgage. What do you expect, you know? Look, you know, talk to me in 20 years when I'm 50. When I'm 50, I'll get back into it. But for now, this is just the way it is. Everybody knows it. Nothing you can do about it. Chucking your responsibility. It's negligence. It is not caring for yourself. We always have to maintain this daily responsibility for self-organization. True, the material energy is not going to just stand by idly and let you organize your day perfectly for Krishna's service. That's not the purpose of the material atmosphere. The material atmosphere provides impediments. But Krishna is impressed, regardless of the impediments supplied by his illusory energy, Krishna is impressed just by your taking the effort to have quality time with the holy name. Just your effort to do that is very impressive. It shows you care. Like in relationships, people are always wanting to feel it. Do you really care? Do something to show that you care. Then you feel safe. This other person really cares. Just do something to show that you care, and I'll be all right. I know when my godfather was in Los Angeles, his wife told him, "Look, you got to do something. I just feel like you got to do something to show that you care for me. So, look, either give me a baby and I can stay at home and take care of it all day long, or get me a car so I can drive around the town." What brand of car do you want? When I first heard it, I thought, boy, this is really stupid. But then when I thought about it, I could see beneath what men would call irrationality, beneath that was, a simple, basic human need that, look, just to help me feel secure, let me see something, solid that shows you're going to make a special effort for me. That's what we should be doing for Krishna. But we make Krishna consciousness so distant, so far away. Oh, in my situation, we're maxed out, we're doing all we can, just trying to keep up. We're just barely keeping our noses above the water. We can't really hear much more than that, That's just the way it's going to be, We made that step into these household complexities, and that's just the way it is, Now, in spite of the struggle and difficulties, you can't chuck you know, throw away your responsibility. You can't throw them off. You have to continue to strive every day. Otherwise, you're speaking this morning. The sannyasis can also make their excuses. You don't know what it's like traveling all the time. You know, 12-hour plane ride. Like I was on the plane for 12 hours from Buenos Aires to Auckland a few days ago. As soon as you get off the plane, everyone expects you. Okay? Yeah. Give every drop of energy you've got. So everybody can make their excuses. But we cannot push off our individual responsibility, how to organize our life for it. Proper hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is the purpose of all the ashrams. That's why the Shastra says, Yopadiyat Yadivatim Shramayivin Devam. If you very nicely execute your ashram, but you haven't developed a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, then it's all a useless waste of time. In other words, it's the purpose of your ashram to provide facilities for your hearing and chanting about Krishna. So you can follow Rupa Goswami's essence of all advice. That's the purpose of the ashram. But sometimes that's forgotten. And sometimes persons just become absorbed in so-called executing their ashram without remembering what the goal of it is, the purpose of it, why the ashram is there. The purpose of the ashram is, indeed, to give you, according to your psychophysical nature, to give you a stance, a foundation for taking advantage of Rupa Goswami's essence of all advice. Therefore, if you even execute your ashram very nicely, but don't have a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's considered useless, all your efforts. And the symptom of success for your ashram is if you are utilizing it for taking Rupa Goswami's essence of all advice. You're organizing your particular ashram so that you can properly relate with Krishna, giving Krishna quality time. That is the success of your ashram. Of course, if husband and wife can stay together for 20 years, it's very successful. But we have to raise our sights a bit. Sometimes devotees get so shell-shocked because of, well, this person did this, and, oh, you know, that happened to me, and this happened to me, that they just lower their vision. Hey, look, you know, if we can just stay together for 20 years, you know, hey, you know, that's all I expect. I don't have any higher vision than that. You know, hey, if we can pay the mortgage, you know, if we can just get the kids out of the house and, you know, they can do what they like, you know, go to university, whatever, but if we can just raise them and they make their own choices and get through all those stages, hey, all glory. So, the fact that there have been disappointments, the fact that there have been difficulties, often unconsciously results in your lowering of your expectations of what you expect out of your own life. And what more can I do, you know? Nah, it's not going to be much more than this, you know. This is just the way it is for quite some time, you know. Yeah, if we can just, you know, keep those bills paid, you know, keep a little prasad on the table, hey, Krishna's mercy, that's about it, you know, for the next 30 years, you know. Now, you shouldn't feel overwhelmed like that. And you won't feel overwhelmed if you are organizing your life for proper reciprocation with Krishna. So this is that point that I've been making, both in Auckland and here. The fact that you are trying to organize your life shows something to Krishna. If you didn't care, you wouldn't do that. Just like if your wife wants to talk to you, and you organize a time, organize a nice place, naturally, your wife will be very impressed. He really wants to listen. He really wants to care. So Krishna is also a person. And he sees how we're struggling to arrange our life so that we can give Krishna quality time. He sees that. Any questions?
So much question is kind of something in support of what you're saying. The root of the word ashram comes from the word shrine, meaning shelter.
Part of the Krishna conscious process is to gain knowledge and then use that knowledge to see the anarchists, as you say, or see the dirty things in the heart. That's part of the process. And then to arrange your life so that you can get rid of those dirty things in the heart. It's part of the following the Krishna conscious process.
Should one get a secret and get rid of these dirty things within the heart?
Separately?
In the process of taking care of them.
By properly trying to take shelter of the holy name, you're going to have to deal with the dirty things in the heart, because they're going to impede you from taking shelter of the holy name. So it's all part of the process. Just like in a relationship. As you all know, but I mean, it's not that from the very beginning every day that your relationship at home just flowed like, you know, spontaneously, yeah? You had to work at it, right? Isn't that expression there? You have to work on this relationship sometimes, better than, you know, sit down and deal with it. And so you have to do that with your spiritual life, too. That's part of the process. When you care for someone, then you want to put in the time to, you know, iron out the knots in the relationship. So the books are giving you knowledge about those complexities, those anarchas, those knots in the heart, the dirty thing. But simultaneously, the books are also purifying you, because they're giving you the association of Krishna. Transcendental knowledge is purifying. By being in contact with Krishna, what do you feel? You develop the urge that I've got to get myself in better shape for dealing with Krishna. That's all the result, part of the process. Just like a lady, when she's courting, wants to be courted. You know, she takes care about her appearance. Oh, he'll be passing my way, you know, this evening. With the makeup on, you know. How do I look? So similarly, we should do that with Krishna. I'm serving Krishna, so how can I fix myself up? So how presentable to the world? This is all personalism. You see, we make Krishna consciousness so way out there, you know. It's just basically common sense personalism. The way we treat Krishna sometimes is atrocious. And it's our own desire for sense gratification that we remain impersonal and callous with Krishna. So we don't see the obvious thing that Krishna is a person, the Supreme Person, and we have to take personal steps to properly reciprocate with Krishna's mercy. All this is part of the process. That's why Rupa Goswami is saying here, the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time. That means management, personal management of your own life.
The concept of chanting the holy name of glorifying the opportunity into a Krishna person, it seems that, obviously that has qualification, it has criteria, and as much as someone has to attempt to give up the 10 offenses and to try and attempt to so obviously those 10 offenses are covering all sorts of other aspects of the devotee's life, like relationships with other devotees.
Well, of course, because Krishna contains everyone and everything.
Yeah. But I'm just sort of trying to think that obviously devotees could tend to, they're not aware of those 10 offenses or are just superficially chanting the holy name. They could be externalizing the process of Krishna consciousness as a means to hide behind their real responsibilities of addressing anarthas in terms of purifying their attitude towards other devotees, spiritual master, different things. So I guess it covers both these aspects. I was thinking about it, these devotees, especially about externally trying to deal with
externally,
extraneously, and basically, rather than just focusing on the whole name, trying other techniques to develop relationships, for example, and this and that and the other thing.
Bye. If you want to chant the holy name properly, then Lord Chaitanya describes the various weeds that can grow up. And some of the weeds that you have to watch out for are, you know, inappropriate dealings with others. That's one of the weeds that choke the cooper of devotional service. You'll find that if you take the time to chant Hare Krishna properly, everything else will work. You'll find that. Because in order to properly focus on the holy name, the rest of your life has to be in order. You'll find that.
So if the rest of your chanting, the rest of your life isn't in order, one supposed to apply to Nero or to anyone else. Could you suppose that actually the problem is with my chanting and not with other areas and this person?
They're both two sides of the coin. So when you chant Hare Krishna for your japa time, that's all you're supposed to be doing. And you've got the rest of the day to sort out the other things. But during your japa time, which is the most important time of the day, You just hear the holy name. Then you'll find that you'll have the strength and the vision for dealing with Krishna's energy, both the jivatmas and material energy. So there are just two sides of it. It's just a holistic experience, but the entrance into that holistic experience is the holy name. For example, because you want to chant the holy name properly, you are careful about your relations with others. You don't want to make offenses.
If one chants constantly, will one going to develop the awareness if one forces oneself to develop this human chanting constantly? Will one develop the ability to develop the correct vision with which one might be oblivious to the fact that one's stepping on others' toes or so on and so forth, you know, in terms of not stealing. But if one's adhering to the principle that if I constantly chant the holy name, wherever I will be given some insight as to where I'm falling short.
Yes, that's a fact. But still, in order for you to make progress in chanting the holy name, you have to make efforts and weed out the offenses. Otherwise, your chanting will take a long time to be fruitful, like cooking with smoke instead of cooking with fire. As Prabhupada pointed out, you can get very proud if you like. Look, what's wrong with fire? What's wrong with smoke? Smoke indicates fire somewhere, you know? Something, there's some flame, some spark around somewhere, otherwise there wouldn't be smoke, so, you know. So what if I'm cooking with smoke? It'll take a long time. And why should you cook with smoke when you have an opportunity to cook with fire? Cooking with fire means chanting and trying to avoid the offenses. So, if you're going to be serious about chanting Hare Krishna, you'll find that it forces you to get your whole life together. Chanting Hare Krishna is a holistic thing. It's not a separate activity from your life. So if there's any fault, it's that we treat it in that way. There's the chanting of the japa, and then there's my life. It doesn't work like that. So that's the problem. Maybe that gets the problem that you're referring to. They both reinforce each other. How you live and how you chant. How you chant and how you live.
Obviously, you've got to condemn or think about your offenses, you're saying, but you know, obviously, certain things we just everyone has anyway, and even people can point to that. I feel like this, but they don't, but still just can't see.
And even if you can see them, you may not have the strength to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Attachment is a difficult thing to deal with. We're attached to other things, but are also attached to our own needs, our own dirt, you know? It's comfortable for us. It's been with us for many births. Why should I scrub? Why should I clean? It's me. This is the way I am. Isn't that? In mundane relationships, persons, you know, they're always saying, look, just accept me for who I am. You know, don't try to change me. Just accept me the way I am. In other words, you know, warts and dirt and all, just, you know, accept me, you know? I don't want to change. You don't like the way I am, then, you know, what's the point of this relationship? It's me, you know? So, we are attached to our own dirt. That's a surprising fact, but it's true. We are attached to our own dirt. Misidentification of the self means identifying with the dirt. So if we make the endeavor to properly chant Hare Krishna, you'll get the vision and the strength for making adjustments in your life. But without nicely chanting Hare Krishna, you will not get the vision or the strength in this age of Kali to do much at all.
Are there any things that we can do to assist it? Obviously, certain things like, just be part of, like, say, all of so many commitments and duties that we can do. And different times we're chanting our japa and stuff comes around, we're just so worried about so many other things, and then it just kind of becomes, obviously from where in the mind we want to bring it back, but it just becomes beyond the joke after a while, it's the way to go. But obviously chanting with enthusiastic people and so on and so forth, but there's certainly contributing things that will help us succeed and us to conquer the world, is that right?
Yes, yes. Association. Sri Goswami is talking about that in this verse. Association. By associating with those who are more successful than you at doing something, you become inspired to do it.
So on a practical platform, on a practical platform, I would say this community that we had devotees, by circumstance, I suppose we don't have the opportunity so much to get together every day, but you're feeling very much the urgency of coming together over on a Sunday, basically, we don't have any of the same thing, which is going on in this day, so that's obviously good.
Yes, and also you have your individual families, and in your within your individual families, you have to follow Rupa Goswami's essence of all advice. Unless devotees properly commit themselves to taking shelter of the holy name, you're going to find that over the years, even though they may have so many good intentions, so many, how should we say, lofty ambitions, it's not going to work because they don't have the strength. We've seen so many, the flavor of the month come and go, so this is the way. Only those devotees who really dedicate themselves to mantra yoga as the basis for their relationships, their service, everything they're doing, their families, their ashram, they actually can last. And that's what the Shastra says. Kleya dosa nite rajan, asti hika mahanguna. The age of Kali is an ocean of faults, and there's only one good thing. Chanting Hare Krishna. But you can't make the mistake of separating the chanting of Hare Krishna from the other aspects of your life. That's also a common mistake. But if you read Lord Chaitanya's discussion about the weeds that can overpower the bhakti lata, then you see that it's a holistic package. The chanting is a product of your lifestyle, and your lifestyle is the product of the chanting. As soon as you want to chant seriously, you've got to sort out the rest of your life. You'll immediately see you have to become better, you have to live simply. And by attention to the holy name, you'll be able to see better how all the energy is related to Krishna. Living entities are related to Krishna. Matter is related to Krishna. So our main problem is we call ourselves Hare Krishnas, but we don't take the Hare Krishna mantra seriously. And that's why devotees don't have the strength to push on even when they have, good ambitions, good, have some good incentive. Yeah, we should do this. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, we should all just, you know, together help one another, this and that. And that's nice. But you won't have the strength to persevere in this age of Kali without properly taking shelter of the holy name. So it's a total package altogether. And the key is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So you can't pull the mantra away from the lifestyle. It's all, you know, there together. But what Rupa Goswami is saying is, this is the key for approaching the holistic situation. Therefore, the essence of all advice is to do this, and then that'll bring you face to face with all aspects of your life. Yes? Yes.
I think you've already answered this really, but what Rupa Goswami is saying is that one should not use Rupa's complete song, that's sort of in the case all day. Would you say that by very seriously chanting, you know, early in the morning, that that will help us understand how to engage? Because you're saying that the ashram is a stance that we take and when we've got everything sorted out in our lives, so we don't really have to sort of think about it too much, when we're peaceful because our minds are efficient.
That was Prabhupada's idea for why householders should live an agrarian life. He didn't hold, Prabhupada didn't have much stock in urban or suburban living. But sometimes it's said that this is something that his disciples unconsciously rebelled against. No one wanted to surrender to it, the agrarian lifestyle. Some have said like that. It was an unconscious rebellion. No, we don't want this. But that was Prabhupada's vision, that through agrarian living, householders wouldn't be so caught up in the complexities of the world, and they would have more time for chanting Hare Krishna. He would always say that. Save time for chanting Hare Krishna. Live simply. So, everyone can at least try to concentrate on chanting nice japa for Krishna during their japa period. At least that. And it's not that simply householders are the only ones who have to battle with the material energy. You're a traveling sannyasi, you always have to be battling with airline schedules. Unless you've got lots of money and just don't care what plane you get on, you know. But otherwise, you've got to really, it's quite a complex thing. I don't know if you've ever done it. Sorting through airline fares and you've never done it. You know, it's quite an ordeal. Airline schedules and fares, this is it. Yes, if you just call up the airline and say, I want to go here, I want to go to Buenos Aires, it'll be done in 2 seconds, but you'll probably pay 3 times as much as you should. Just to have a car and take care of it is quite an idea if you have a car to take care of it properly. Have a computer and take care of it. All these things are require a lot of attention. So it's not that the sannyasis are dealing with, you know, the satsana, the vigraha directly 24 hours a day. Everybody is using things in relation to Krishna's service. But there's no doubt that if we make a prolonged effort in our life to chant our rounds nicely, that will give us, that's the lock to open the door for the whole package of our life. It doesn't mean we don't try to do other things to improve our spiritual life, but that is the key. And by doing that, you'll get the strength to, and the vision to deal with other things. Without that, you won't have the strength to even deal with what you see, but speak about the things you don't see. So we shouldn't kid ourselves and become very infatuated with our tiny spiritual energy, you know, that we have based on insensitive or mediocre attempts to chant the holy name. You know, the Buddhists, the so-called Buddhists, they really get into their meditation, their Vipassana meditation. They make a big deal out of it, you know, sitting on cushions and watching the ingoing, outgoing breath. They take it seriously, at least in theory, but we don't take our japa meditation seriously enough. And there, because we don't do that, we try to endeavor in so many other ways to solve the problem. Instead of seeing it all, if you chant Hare Krishna properly, you'll see how everything works together. But if you don't, then you just see these various, how do you say, isolated areas of your life that aren't connected. Like, you know, icebergs floating randomly in the ocean, you know, just one's over here, one's over there, and there's my japa period, there's the devotees relating with them, there's, you know. But you want to see how it all comes together. That vision comes from chanting Hare Krishna with attention. Then you see the whole package very easily. You get the insight. Without that insight, you're always floundering, you know. There's this aspect of my life, this aspect of my life, there's the devotees, relationships, there's my kids, there's the wife, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's like that. Prabhupada once said, he's created all the activities of ISKCON just so I just slip my mind. I've forgotten. Said something about it in relation to chanting Hare Krishna.
Just because recently there were such doers and they couldn't quite come to grips with just being able to sit down and focus on the whole name and just do that. So they all wanted to go out and do other things, they wanted to go out and do this and do that. And so it was kind of like giving all these Westerners all these activities to do so they could just feel like they were doing stuff all the time and then try and build a little japa from that. Whereas if he'd actually just been able to get them to focus straight away on the japa, which is the essence, the most important thing. It was just
been
too hard for
them. No, we always said chanting 16 rounds is not difficult, you know. Just 16. And also the things that he was getting everybody to do were very dear things to Lord Chaitanya. Something they're just kind of things to keep the monkeys busy. They were activities that were very dear to Lord Chaitanya. For example, book distribution. I made the point in Mayapur this year that Prabhupada said the same thing at the start of the book distribution boom in 1972 and in the last few months of his presence in this world in 77. He was asked the same question. How do you become an empowered book distributor? And in 72, his answer was, chant your 16 rounds from beginning to end without interruption. And in 77, at the end, same answer. So by meditating, of course these things weren't publicized that much, so that, you know. Oh yes. It's personal. Just like it's like saying, well, if I would just listen to everything Sumukhi has to say without interrupting her from beginning to end, it would seem that the relationship, you know, would improve, yes? Well, why can't we treat Krishna like that? It's a personal thing. You're showing that you are really interested in giving this person quality time. It's a yogi, it's a sacrifice. So that was Prabhupada's answer for how to become an empowered book distributor. He said, well, you know, you get some good sales techniques, you know. Get a special book bag. No. Chant your rounds from beginning to end without interruption. And you can take that without interruption on different levels. It can be without physical interruption, or you can take it deeper without mental interruption. Just like an ocean of meaning in that statement. Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. At least you've got to make physically organize your life. And that's 2 hours out of your day. Then you've got the other 22 hours to sort the other things out. You see? That's 2 hours of your day. Then the rest of the time you can work on your relationships and work on all these other things. But that 2 hours of chanting, that's the most important part of the day, which will give you the vision and strength to do all the other things. So it's not like a either or, you know. Okay, we'll just chant and hell with everything else. But it is a fact that your japa meditation is the most important part of the day and will give you the vision and strength for dealing with the other things in your day, which have to be done too. Once you get a taste for the holy name, then your material desires become reduced, and that makes your life a lot easier. The fire goes down, and life becomes, you know, more comfortable. Complexities come because of material desires. All right, so. Come tomorrow morning, so I don't want to keep you too late. Got kitties to deal with. Okay? I think that's good. Thank you. Hare Krishna.